Welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by Mobius Strip Press. I am G.R. Mobley. If you go to my site, reclaimingtherepublic.org, you will have access to my content and support documents and links. This is an educational grassroots program leading in restoring the Republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again.
Welcome back. And we are continuing in this episode the marketing that we didn't get to finish. I started and I realized that, and I apologize that I really got held up on some rants there. So I'm not going to try to get held up on rants. And as I mentioned in the last episode, that I have a lot to cover and I'm going to try not to hurry, because when I hurry, I get tongue-tied and sometimes I use bad grammar, what have you. So I will try to calm down and give you, I think, a good perspective, an important perspective as to where we are. I will summarize when we finally get to the end of this wave of marketing and news. I will give you a summation, a compendious summation on how I see the expansion of evil is so far beyond any other time of evil. And when I say evil, that goes back to Noah. That goes back to Sodom and Gomorrah. That goes back to all the different societies. Because the evil that we have progressed to today was unfathomable, even during Noah's time. They didn't have the technology to do live organ harvesting. They didn't have the technology, communications, and everything else to do the things that are being done today. And it's only getting worse. And we don't have to let it get worse. But with that, I want to just kind of plow forward, because as I've said, we're going to kind of watch this, and I'm not. I as a matter of fact, I tell people all the time, very rarely do I even do any glancing at the news. I do check when I, pull my head out and finish giving you some academic evidence and information so that it helps you understand exactly what we have received in our constitutional endowment. And then we get into the marketing to try to say, okay, how much more of this crap are you willing to put up with? You already know we have a swamp. You already know the swamp's extended into the states. Are you really going to let things continue? Because it only takes a little bit of effort. We're going to get into that as well, because I am telling you, the commitment on the opposition side is unbelievable. But anyway, as we get consumed with what's going on with, the impeachment, the Russian probe, and all of these other things, fear not. Those things are not going anywhere. It is not a flash that something that just happened and did you miss that? Because believe you me, the news agencies, as well as the players that are pulling the strings, they want to make sure you are completely captivated in their distractions. As long as you make these things important, then they're going to keep playing these things. And as soon as you start focusing on the real problem, I think they're going to open up another can of worms and try to get you distracted. If you understand operant conditioning, that's what we need. And so just in case you don't understand, there's basically two types of conditionings. There's probably more. But the two types I learned in basic psychology is classical conditioning and operant conditioning. Classical conditioning is when you just do things repetitively, like Pavlov's dog, and you get to a point where you just do things. And when certain events occur, like the ringing of a bell, you start salivating because you believe that it's time for dinner. That is classical conditioning. It's just behavioral conditioning. Now, there's personal behavioral conditioning that you have to actively do. You have to actually take effort. And that is operant conditioning. When things are all of a sudden, you know, and let's say you're trying to focus on some work and the person in the cube next to you is talking all day about stuff and you can't get any work done and your boss is coming down on you going, what the heck's wrong? And you realize that if you don't stop, you know, listening in and getting involved in the other things and focus on work, you could get fired. You could lose your job. And a lot of people do. But those people that apply operant conditioning, and operant conditioning is tuning out those things that are distracting you so that you can focus on what you need to focus on. Ah, now you get it. Now you understand that you actually have to turn off the news. You have to turn off the TV, and then you have to actually read for yourself. The scriptures, read for yourself if you're not doing that already. Read for yourself these founding documents. Just don't take my word for it. Get smart. Read for yourself the process of Republic Review. Start making the connections. There's a reason why there are very smart people that are coming on board and going, this is what we've got to do. There is a reason why this is being embraced in some of these dark red states, because these people realize what's at stake. We need you. We need your help. And we, like I always say, we're reclaiming the Republic and we need your help. And I'm going to get into why we need your help. And I keep on telling you, and it's in these news cycles that we do this. So, you know, buckle up. And in the next episode or this episode, hopefully we'll get it done in this or the next episode, we're going to give you, I think, some of the best arguments in why you need to buckle up and stop getting distracted, use a little operant conditioning and tune out these distractions and start understanding what is at stake. Once liberty is lost, it is gone. And do not think, as a matter of fact, I had a great conversation this weekend with a guy that's in the NRA that has been in the NRA for a long time, and he realizes that they've become, you know, a corrupt organization, as well as, you know, all these other ones, John Birch and so forth. They're digging their heels in for the status quo. So quit believing and buying into these long-term, what do you want to call them, monoliths of organizations that claim to be the champions for some specific rights, because they're not. They don't care about solving the problems. They care about keeping you distracted. Oh, listen to us, because we're the lead on what is right. Really? I'm telling you, anybody that analyzes Republic Review. So I have to question any group or organization that analyzes it and can't come up with the academic reason to not do this. And after they've fully investigated, they're like flat earthers. They realize that there is nothing in it for them, and so they're going to deny it. They know that the evidence proves otherwise, but they will deny it. I'm not going to be surprised that a lot of people that are making decent money or that their living is contingent upon the problem, they have nothing. No way, no how will they get involved in getting rid of their livelihood. It's like killing the goose that lays the golden egg. Now, we will do a little memorial on the civil rights activist, longtime politician, swamp creature Eli Cummings once the mourning process has kind of been fulfilled. But one of the things I wanted to get into, I'm just letting you know, we will have that in a future episode. It'll probably be a month or so, because I think you need to give people a appropriate space and time for mourning. But one of the things I mentioned in the last episode was regarding the NBA and China. And as I said, let's see how the fans react. And so, and I know this in the back of my head, and you probably know this. If there is any, if there is anything in the world that is buried in statistics, it is sports. Because, I mean, most people that get into statistics, the majority of them are employed in the sports field or in the sports market. Baseball, they keep every statistic all the way back. And so it is very apparent when you start looking at sports, you know, how sports have expanded their market or how sports have kind of been myopic and how they realize, okay, well, so a great case in point, as we were talking about the NBA, I will focus on that. It is well known that the NBA, the majority of their fans are of a specific demographic. It's the same thing with soccer, specific demographic. Same thing with NHL. Same thing with NASCAR. There are very specific demographics that go after very specific sports. Some of it is kind of cultural. Some of it is driven by responsive to the culture and what have you. But one particular sport that has been very successful in expanding its demographics and marketing itself, well, at least until the past couple of years, has been the NFL, until they became anti-patriot, and then that demographic has completely fell out because I have no idea what anybody's scores are, what anybody's standings are, who's looking at possible playoff berths or what, because I won't have anything to do with social justice warriors standing out and insulting me. And you're seeing that in all the rest of the sports as well, starting to pan out, my friends. But as I said, let's see how the fans react to the NBA and what's going on in China. But we will be back with more marketing when we come back after these two promos. Thank you so much. Have you taken the time to watch our presentation on YouTube that provided an irrefutable argument of what we have to do to save our Constitution and our Republic? I know it's over an hour and 30 minutes, but you only need to watch the first 30 minutes. If you take the time to watch this presentation, I promise it will change your paradigm regarding what our Constitution is and what we have to do if we are going to save it, our liberties, our sovereignty, and our republic. We already have answers to most of the questions that you might think of after watching this presentation, and we want to help you get to a point where you have a profound understanding of the audit and republic review process. This is why our bullet overview and flowchart of both the argument and process is available on reclaimingtherepublic.org. The sooner you get informed, the sooner you can get involved and make an impact. So go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to the Take Action page. That's where you'll find the video. Thank you so much. If you've listened to my show, Reclaiming the Republic, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. In accordance to Article 7, the Constitution is a hard, fast contract, and the states are the only stakeholders in this contract. Integral in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight and enforcement over their contract. This means they can audit the federal government by the contract, and with republic review, they can enforce compliance to their constitution. Any single state can perform the audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, this is what is referred to as republic review. Please read my argument for republic review as well as my description of the republic review model on reclaimingtherepublic.org. We even have a graphic flowchart that shows you how republic review works. If you want to learn more, contact me on Facebook or send me an email. Thank you. Okay, so the number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK or 215-867-8255. Do not forget my three C's when you dial in. And let's get on with the dialogue. So one of the things I want to do, though, is I want to tell you what we're going to be covering in a few of our upcoming episodes. We're going to get into the thorax, but the reason why we're getting into the thorax is to really help you understand how the framers understood treason and how they actually took very seriously anybody that was supporting, opposing concepts of individual liberty and individual sovereignty and the fundamental tenets that we built this nation on with incredible support and help from the divine hand of providence. So we're going to paint this picture so that you kind of understand treason and the different degrees of treason, like different degrees of murder. Most people look at treason as, boom, it's very specific, it's got to be an act of war, what, blah, blah, blah. No. And that is not how the framers perceived treason. And as a matter of fact, it was not how the Congress and the paradigm of governors, or I should say those who were in the governance business, politicians, after the Civil War and during the Civil War. And so we're going to cover that so that you can kind of understand and how the Tory acts, you know, goes, it flies in the face of what a lot of libertarians and a lot of people are saying regarding government confiscation of property and so forth. Now, I want to put this into context. It doesn't mean that I'm an advocate that government confiscates all your stuff. But we have to understand why government confiscation even ever existed with the Tory Acts and so forth and the application of it, right? Okay. So anyway, because I don't think that they should be confiscating your car because you happen to be unwittingly carrying an illegal alien who was hitchhiking. I don't believe that they should confiscate your, you know, your property over, you know, minor things and the reasons they're coming up with today. But I think we need to put this into perspective because we can't just be thinking carte blanche, oh, it's just wrong to seize people's property. No, no, no. The framers did it and why they did it and so forth. That's why we're going to get into the Tory Acts. Now, the next thing we want to get into, and that's going to take some research for me to do all of this, to present this information and argument to you. The next thing I want to cover is the 14th Amendment in Section 3, because this actually plays into the degrees of treason and the oath of office and the oath of citizen and why we have oaths, which are now completely useless, and where we have to start having pledges, signed documents, because, oh, well, yeah, I took that oath, but, you know, it didn't mean anything. So we actually need to put more teeth in pledges to go after people. And by that time, once we cover those things, I think we'll be on our way to, because we're going to intermingle some more marketing, because that's what most of the listeners out there in radio land, TV land, and airwave and streaming land, this airwave and streaming world, I should say, that's what people want. They want to actually see what the heck's going on. It reminds me of a song on Amused to Death by Roger Waters. It's the very first song, The Battle of Bill Hubbard, and there's a little girl, you know, that you can hear the TV, you know, somebody's tuning into a TV and they're watching different things and the channel changes. Then there's this little girl that says, that's the thing I like about a war. You know, that way, you know, if our side's a winning or if our, I mean, like there's a positive thing to a war, but she likes watching the news of the war because she can tell if our side's a winning or if our side's losing. And apparently she has no real understanding of the consequences of winning and losing in war. But anyway, so that's the same thing with a lot of people watching the news, because I really believe that many people that don't listen to this show are not conscious of the consequences of what is happening by their wasting time in watching so much news, because all it's doing is keeping you from taking action. All it's doing is, oh, well, you know, I'll use my time, fill up my time with information. Get informed and get involved. It is that simple. There is no point in constantly listening to the news. When you want to get informed on the academic side. It's just like if you want to get informed in religion, you can spend your time in the halls of religious, you know, edifices, institutions, and so forth. And that doesn't mean that you have gotten informed on religion. You have to read the text. You got to read the text of the Bible, the Quran, Torah, whatever. And, you know, what is it? Dianetics with the Scientology. If you want to understand that religion, period, you've got to pick up that book and you've got to educate, get informed on it so that you can put it into context. Okay? So that's why we need you to get informed regarding the founding documents. Let me prove to you, and the only way I can do that is for you to get informed. So every once in a while, we talk about the news, and that's, you know, the few of you that, you know, kind of, oh, great, we're getting some news. Anyway, I apologize. I'm not trying to marginalize the importance of intelligence and information, but if the importance of information becomes a driving factor, then you don't fight the war. In other words, if all the effort of the war goes into the intelligence gathering, analysis, and so forth, but there is no action behind that, then it's just, it's for naught. Anyway, we've got Red State Coffee. Go to reclaimingtherepublic.org. That is our sponsor. It's our only sponsor at this point. And we ask that you try Red State Coffee and give us a call. Send us an email. Let us know however you want to do it. You know, some people want to do an email. Okay, that's fine. info@reclaimingtherepublic.org, or you just give us a call, 425-270-5416. Now, we have a listen line, 605-562-4209. And if you think I forgot, I haven't forgotten that this show is also sponsored by reclaimingtherepublic.org as well as republicreview.org. Now, I'm going to jump. I'm jumping straight into what we were just talking about. When we were talking about being a rule of law in the last episode and how important it is that we must implement our justice system as it was designed, that we have to comply to the law, that you must, we all as citizens must become compliant in respecting other individual rights and other individual sovereigns, in them being able to make the decisions for themselves instead of people assuming, taking power, and making decisions for you. There is nowhere in our Constitution that allows draconian government, period. It just, it's not there. So the things that we need to do in restoring our real civil rights is we got to get to work, folks. We actually have to understand that a person has a right to work. A person does not have a right in their job, but you have a right to go find work. And it is just like a transaction of buying tomatoes. You have money, he has tomatoes. You come to an agreement on what those tomatoes are worth. He gives you those for what he's expecting. And if not, he calls you a thief. You better get a receipt, right? It's the same thing with conducting business. You have a civil right to conduct business. And when somebody takes that away from you, they're taking away your fundamental right of property. That's one of the reasons why I go through Madison's essay on property. It's not just your ability to make money, your ability to create things, your ability to conduct business. It's even your ability to express yourself and worship how you desire. Those are the most precious. And we're being told in schools that you can't express certain things, that you can't worship a certain way. And that is a fundamental violation of individual liberty. We have to understand, and we have a civil right in being safe in our persons and in our property. The government does not have, you know, they have no business listening to everybody's phone lines. And there's a young man that was working for me and said, hey, do they really listen? And I go, there's only one way to prove this. And this kid was in high school. And I go, but there's a way to prove that they're listening or not. And he goes, how? And I go, you get, and what I would do first is I'd write out a very complete, detailed, story as to what you're doing. But then, and this was when Obama was in office, but I would then actually go right out and on the phone converse with a bunch of kids and concoct a plan in a telephone conference that you're going to assassinate the president and find out if anybody was listening and they actually come and boom, arrest you and investigate you. Then you have this, hopefully it's a good alibi that kind of explains what you're trying to do. But my point is that why did they have cause to listen to that phone conversation, right? If you understand how they've been catching people, the question is, and it doesn't mean that you had any intent whatsoever. It was really to find out. It was to basically fish. And so sometimes you don't want the answer, but we will find more answers when we come back after these messages.
Folks, I'm constantly providing you with case after case and giving you both the empirical information as well as irrefutable academic evidence that the federal government is operating well outside the bounds of the Constitution. In measuring outlays, the federal government is spending over 80% of your tax dollars on unconstitutional government. This is why we don't need a balanced budget amendment. We just need to enforce the Constitution. So what is it going to take for you to take a stand in getting the federal government back into the framework of the Constitution? To be clear, the solution is simple and does not require much work on any one individual, especially if everyone contributed to the effort. We only ask that you make a commitment today to contributing however you can and make the difference necessary for our posterity's sake. Send me an email at info@reclaimingtherepublic.org and let me know how you'd like to help so we can help you save our republic.
To become a citizen, one must take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. Those of us who are naturally born citizens are obligated and duty-bound to fulfill the same oath even though we're not required to take it because it is implied upon us at birth. This is why I cannot emphasize enough the importance in supporting businesses who are supporting our Constitution. We have to stop supporting businesses that have chosen to hide behind political correctness, and obviously we must stop supporting progressive businesses who are working to undermine our republic and our Constitution. Do not let businesses or organizations convince you that they are supporting the Constitution by supporting protests for social justice. By definition, social justice is the distribution of wealth, opportunities, and privileges within a society. In other words, they're calling for socialism, which is incompatible with individual liberty and individual sovereignty and our Constitution. With that, please consider supporting businesses who advertise on this show and this radio station.
That number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK, 215-867-8255. And again, don't forget those three C's. And if you're ready to call in, the lines are open.
All right. So apparently we're now in our third segment, and I apologize. I don't mean to be ranting, but I'm actually weaving in a lot of content here for you. And I hope you recognize this. If we're talking about the rule of law, if we're talking about understanding and restoring civil rights, we also have to have in the same conversation the understanding of violators. And when I say violators, I just don't mean somebody that, you know, is driving down the road, because I'm not necessarily a fan of speeding tickets. I'm not necessarily a fan of tickets for traffic moving violations, because it's all about safety, right? And so I think that, okay, if you're speeding, then okay, then that's, you know, a bad thing. Maybe you should be pulled over and given a warning. However, you know, speeding, reckless driving, what really, and the whole intent is that we're supposed to not have accidents. But because we have these, let's just say we have these things called insurance companies, and insurance companies have really gone after damages and so forth. But the bottom line is that when somebody has an accident, they've caused physical property. I mean, you've really violated somebody's civil rights. You've hurt somebody. And if you've ever been in an accident, you have to be, especially when it's the other person's fault, you have to be very, very livid, like I get, that that person has now taken your time and your property because they violated the law. And as far as I'm concerned, this whole thing of, well, we all have accidents, we all lose time. No. I honestly think whoever is at fault needs to really carry the brunt of the cost. And there has to be a steep traffic fine for doing so, period. I mean, even though there are consequences, I don't think that we hold the people accountable. Because bottom line, when you'd make the decision, because I happen to like to drive fast. I'm not going to say speed, but most people that know me knows that I do enjoy driving the conditions of the road. And I have very, very, very few accidents because I understand the conditions of the road. I usually try not to ever take risks. When I was a kid, I was stupid enough and I did take risks. But the problem was, is we have a system that really doesn't give you the consequences of taking those risks. In other words, there should be debtor's prison. There should be those types of things. Let's say you all of a sudden have an accident and you've done damage that you can't even pay for. Well, you should go to debtor's prison. Or better yet, let's even look at debtor's prison for those who violate their oaths. Let's look at debtor prison for those who violate their contract, right? Instead of going bankrupt and saying, oh, we're going to forgive you of this. You know, I believe the fundamental tenets of Christianity and forgiveness and mercy, but I do believe that that type of built-in process, you know, like we're going to forgive you for your bankruptcies and these types of things. Those types of processes only enable people to go, well, you know what? If I go bankrupt, there's no big deal. That's why people are willing to take great risks and, oh, well, okay, I've got a black mark on it, but we've got ways of either expunging that or hiding that from my next creditor, my next contractor, what have you. And so that's why I'm saying that it's a huge problem with our society, and I've talked about this before, how we constantly remove the consequences of sin. Because what is it when you violate your oath or when you violate your contract? Is that really a sin? If you went to the Ten Commandments, which one would that be? Well, bearing false witness, lying, right? Coveting? I mean, anyway, I think you get it. We need to actually, if we're going to restore the rule of law, we have to start understanding, restoring the concepts of real civil rights. Civil rights has everything to do with a person, not a demographic. No person should have any rights differently, like in the old days, the rule of thumb. Some people don't even know what the rule of thumb meant. The rule of thumb was, and it was actually a law, that you could take your wife to the steps of the courthouse and you could beat her with a stick that was no greater than the circumference or the diameter of your thumb. And that was a pretty, let's just say, a bad backwards concept of civil rights. When you can actually subjugate somebody, and our society kind of had that. Remember, I've told you that enlightenment is an evolutionary process, and that we finally enlightened ourselves to a point where we've actually given everybody, almost everybody, at least as citizens, we should not be extending those rights to people that are not citizens. I get it that people want to come here, but you have to actually go through the legal process. You know, anyway, I want to just dive forward. I was going to talk about riot control systems, but I don't think I want to at this point in time. So I will probably bring this up because we actually have to have measures. We actually have to have a way of holding people accountable. And so I've said this before, when you have protesters, people that go to protest, they know there's a good likelihood that they, if even if they did something wrong, they'd get away with it. How many protesters ever get held in court and said, you were a part of an illegal protest, the protest started, you know, violating, and so because you were there, you were associated in aiding, abetting, or what have you, and so you need to spend 30 days in jail, or what have you, right? The point is that we don't hold people accountable. And so having a riot control system is, I think, pretty important. But we will have to get to that later because there's other stuff I really want to get into in this episode. And I'll probably revisit that in a special episode. I have talked to you about the Billy Graham story that he told about this communist that who is highly committed. As a matter of fact, if you Google or DuckDuckGo Billy Graham and commitment plus communist, you just put those in the search line, this story will come up so you can read it yourself. In this story, it shows once a person becomes a communist, they become a hardwired ideologue in working, willing to stand in front of a firing line so that you can be compelled and forced to do what they tell you to do, so that the state has full control. Now, if you look at a lot of the Democrats out there, a lot of them aren't in that hardcore commitment, but many of them, not all of them, but way too many of them are. And many of them are becoming kids or becoming Antifa and so forth. We have to wake up and we have to recognize that these people are in a paradigm of violating your civil rights. They're willing to do anything and everything necessary. And again, the ends justify the means. They're willing to violate the Constitution into forcing you. They're willing to damage property, hurt people, and they're being emboldened. Why is it that our government emboldened communism around the world over the past two centuries? Why is it that our government is now emboldening communist protests and so forth, and they've slowly migrated our laws to actually protect these people? Just wake up, folks. I mean, have you got that red state coffee? Take a good whiff, take a good sip, drink whatever beverage it is in front of you. I'm here to tell you that we are being manipulated. And as a matter of fact, I had a really good dialogue with an old friend who is coming to the light on conservative views. I mean, there's way too many Americans that just don't recognize the real threat, but they're starting to see, and even though they bought in maybe 20, 40 years ago, environmentalism and all of that, they're starting to see that this has really become a radical, rabid, foaming at the mouth religion, and it's getting way out of hand. And he finally posted this article that shows that the whole science, they're not even following the the laws of science, or I should say the processes of science. You start with a hypothesis or a theory, and you work your way to a law. And people have jumped straight into it's a law. We've got global climate change. It's a law that we have evolution. And no, those are still hypotheses. There is no empirical evidence that actually proves, and you can duplicate. You cannot duplicate the evolution of life. You cannot duplicate anything that they are asserting. So how do these things all of a sudden become law? Because the narrative supports that, and they would rather lie. Remember, the ends justify the means, and they're going to lie to you to get you to believe anything. It's almost like an interrogator in a police investigation room. They will lie, and they will do almost anything they possibly can as long as they don't violate their standards of the law in getting you to confess. But the whole point is, why is it that the communists have such a hardcore commitment to what they're doing, and those patriots out there, you and I, some of us just don't have that same level of commitment? Well, that's because I got to put bread on the table. I'm busy. Well, we'll get into following up with this when we come back and actually getting towards the news. Anyway, we'll be right back after these two promos. Thank you so much.
Folks, Red State Talk Radio has brought back its monthly newsletter. I know everyone gets a lot of emails, but this is not a daily or weekly newsletter. It's a monthly newsletter. So you will not be overwhelmed with a plethora of emails from Red State Talk Radio. Come on, it's only once a month. I'll be contributing a constitutional perspective to one of the current issues to help everyone see an alternative perspective, or what I believe would be a framer's perspective regarding the issue to help us maintain a constitutional paradigm. I will also provide information regarding a significant historical context to the time of year so that we can remember our history, so we will not be doomed to repeat the inevitable failings from forgetting our past and origins. Just go to Red State Talk Radio and sign up for the newsletter. This way you can get a focused view of what is going on in the Republic as well as what is going on at Red State Talk Radio. Thank you.
To set the record straight, Republic Review is neither an Article 5 convention nor a convention of states. In accordance with Article 5 of the Constitution, this convention requires 2/3 of the states to apply to Congress to convene a convention with the intent to amend the Constitution. This convention is unable to solve our real problem, which is non-compliance to the Constitution, and would be dangerous to convene at this time. In contrast, Republic Review is the process of the states exerting its constitutional authority over the Constitution. An audit does not require an application to Congress. This authority is inherent to principal stakeholders of a contract. Why do we need Republic Review? Because this is the only way the states can deal with the federal encroachments into roles, responsibilities, and powers that belong to the states. To learn more about Republic Review, please go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to read my content and my model on the audit and Republic Review process.
Okay, if you want to join in on the dialogue, you need to call 215-TOP-TALK. That's 215-867-8255.
And I'm the enemy. As I think about those who are trying to mislabel, lie to people about what I'm doing, and actually trying to obfuscate the truth and everything that we support regarding Republic Review, why they are doing that. They must be doing that because I'm the enemy, or I'm a threat to them, as I said in a couple of segments ago. But anyway, why is it that the patriots, why is it that we, most of us, do not have the same level of commitment that these communists are willing to live off of government entitlements? They've already bought into the whole plan. Most of these kids, Antifa and so forth, well, they're being subsidized by their parents. They're being subsidized by the government. They're being subsidized in all sorts of ways. And that's how communism works around the world, because America has been subsidizing it for a century, if not more. But why is it that we, because this is the most important question we're driving today, why is it that we patriots, so few, have that level of commitment? Why is it that so many have such a little commitment? And I believe it's two things, because I know we all get busy. I know that we have a family and so forth, but we could do more. You know, when you watch the football games, when you watch sports, you can see the difference in the level of play based on the commitment. You go to, you know, high school, you go to Little League, and, you know, these kids are out there having fun, but they are not willing to sacrifice their bodies. They're not willing to sacrifice for stopping, making the play, whatever you want to call it. They aren't that committed. And I tell you, this is because they do not realize the magnitude of the cost of losing. especially if the subjugators win. I don't think people realize just how important your liberties are because you don't sit down and you don't count them and you don't put them into context. Start doing that. And maybe we need to actually, and I'm going to have to write a little note that we have to, so forgive me, because when I dynamically think of these things, we need to place liberties into context. Okay, so that's one reason why we have a lack the commitment. The other reason why is we do not recognize the connection of the intricate webbing these subjugators have created to entrap us. Oh, well, it's Antifa. No, it's not. Oh, well, it's the education system. Well, no, it's not. That's a big part of it, but no, it's not. The mainstream media, that's another big part of it, but no, it's not. It is some of our own actions of commission and omission, failing to go to church. Oh, well, allowing ourselves to giving up on discipline, because once you recognize that there is an association, there is, well, this may not be direct, but there is an association to when we stop disciplining, when we stop living a disciplined life and we start allowing ourselves to do things that we know can cause us harm, eating wrong, not going to church, because when we stop disciplining ourselves, exercise, what have you, then we are allowing ourselves to let go. And I'm telling you that that is a part of this intricate connection. Part of those things are addictions. If you understand the intricate webbing that these these evil doers have created, whether it be gaming, and I don't mean just sports gaming, I mean online gaming or going to the park and gambling on dogs, horses, or what have you. Gambling in itself, all sorts of addictive behavior, and they're promoting this, and I'll actually be getting into this. Unfortunately, we won't get into this until the next episode or not. So I hope you stay tuned. And as a matter of fact, more importantly, I hope that you actually start getting other people to start listening to this show so that you can start listening to the entirety, because this actually straps across these whole concepts. You cannot put everything into a tight, concise bubble. And so, at least I can't. That's one of my big shortfalls. I can't be that short, succinct in understanding and trying to paint the overall picture. But bottom line, the two reasons why we have so little commitment is because we don't realize the magnitude of the cost if the subjugators win, and we do not recognize all of the tentacles that they have created in this webbing throughout our lives to entrap us. What I am just asking you is to start helping wake up America. We better start toughening up, and we have to start pointing out we are guilty if we are not focused, and we are guilty if we allow ourselves to constantly be distracted. There it is, because it is our fault for not focusing on the job at hand and allowing ourselves to be constantly distracted from getting the work done. Our stand is with government, not the subjugator pawns. Our stand is not to go out and fight Soros. Our stand is to get government to do its job in obeying their oaths of office, in supporting the Constitution. And as we move forward, we're going to get into some stories that talk about how they are exploiting all these other things. So everybody, and I'm going to get into one news, at least this one. Everyone knows this information that's going on in the news. Because I've heard this reporting myself when I've popped my head out to actually hear about what the heck's been going on. George Soros, and this is a G. Edward Griffin's Need to Know News story. George Soros, the Soros-linked groups are targeting local sheriffs and district attorneys' elections to get these candidates in who will adopt a soft-on-crime policy to thwart immigration effort enforcements as well as other things. I mean, what they're posting out there is, oh, well, it's about immigration. But actually, if you start looking at it, it's about other things, about allowing people to violate your fundamental civil rights of person and property. And a left-wing criminal justice advocacy group with ties to George Soros is targeting the election of nearly 500 prosecutors and sheriffs across America in 2019. And that's going to grow. Remember, people said that, and I even reported, that he was mobilizing 80% of his billions of dollars in these next few years to actually push the world in the direction he wants it. The plan is to install leftist local officials who will be soft on crime and refuse to cooperate with U.S. immigration enforcement, along with a lot of other things. But G. Edward Griffin is myopically focused on the immigration enforcement period, because the mass immigration throughout the world, even in America, is a huge part of their plan. The plan is being directed by Justice Collaborative, which is a project of Tides Advocacy, which is an affiliate to the Soros-funded Tides Foundation. Tides Advocacy, Tides Foundation. This group is targeting Louisiana, Mississippi, New Jersey, New York, Pennsylvania, and Virginia. And it's actually also in other states like California. Now, I've told you that there was a map that Tucker Carlson used in showing this. G. Edward Griffin points out that the Trump administration has shown no interest in interfering in these activities or these election activities. But here are the connecting dots, because this is not about just immigration. Here is the connecting dots with what we're doing in Republic Review. We are actually handing you the solution, because they are ignoring violations of the Constitution. And Soros is working at the local level to get local candidates and local public servants to violate the Constitution, like he's already got going on in the swamp in D.C. You have to join us in supporting local advocacy, in demanding the people, you know, honor their oath, sign petitions of resignation. If you violate the Constitution, you will resign. We have to demand that people comply to their oath and that they do their job. If we want change, if we want to restore our civil rights, if we want to save our liberty and restore our constitutional republic, we have to demand that our public servants at the local level, especially the state legislatures, are solid. This is why we need your help, and start saving money, because we need you to help us counter what Soros is doing in these local elections. This is only the tip of the iceberg. We've got more marketing and more news in our next episode. I'm G.R. Mobley. We're Reclaiming the Republic, and we need your help. God bless. I've been on the radio for a couple of years, and for over a decade, I have been providing content to help patriots understand what has to be done if we're going to save our Constitution and our Republic. Not one academic has been able to refute my argument for Republic Review, and even most conservative entertainers will not support Republic Review due to self-interest reasons. If you have not read my bullet point descriptions and executive summaries, you need to, so that you can understand what we all need to do. I am
trying to give patriots the necessary knowledge to take back our Constitution and Republic. Go to reclaimingtherepublic.org so you can read my bullet points and view the Republic Review flowchart. You can even order my executive summaries, books, and other content to understand the simplicity of what we have to do. This way, you will know what, why, and how to support the reclaiming of our Republic. Again, please take a look at my content on reclaimingtherepublic.org so you can become a part of the solution.